Hello, everyone, and welcome to Celestial Weather. This is an astrological forecasting show where we talk about the planetary weather. So we're talking about what the planets are doing in the heavens and how their movements correspond with our lives here on Earth. So my name is June Rose Trimbach, and I'm an astrologer in Olympia, Washington. So thank you for listening to the show today. As I'm recording this, it's Monday, June 11th, 2018. And we're going to talk about the week ahead, like we usually do. So the really big thing going on this week that I feel like this week is sort of centered around is actually Neptune. And last week had strong Neptunian energy as well. So just to sort of name that in the beginning of the show, you know, Neptune is really about dreams and mystery and imagination and illusion and delusion and reality. It's really about finding a deeper level of reality, or at least finding a way to engage creatively with the world, using the dream time, using imagination, and tapping into, you know, the more mystical kind of qualities of reality. So we'll talk more about that in just a second, but I want to just mention some changes that are happening soon, in the next couple of days. So the first thing that happens this week is Mercury ingresses into Cancer on Tuesday night, or on Tuesday, tomorrow. So Mercury ingressing into Cancer, right, it's moving out of Gemini, which is its home sign. Mercury in Gemini is like clear thinking, fast thinking, lots of ideas, fast talking, and curiosity, right, and communication, and it's very... it's Mercury's home, right? So Mercury's been in its home, which doesn't mean communication has necessarily been totally clear, because we've had Mercury square Neptune, right? Which, you know, puts communication more in that dreamlike sort of intuitive place. But Mercury in Gemini is, it's very creative, it's very social, it's very sort of dynamic communication and exchange of ideas. It really has to do with how important the exchange of ideas and information is. Sharing information, receiving information, and processing it all through talking and through communication. So as Mercury moves into Cancer, communication and mental processing and writing and trade, commerce, all of these things become a little bit more sort of sensitive, right? We can understand Cancer as an emotional sign that likes to pull inward. It has a lot to do with memory, longing, needs, you know, emotional needs, and these kinds of things. So with Mercury moving into Cancer, it's like, you know, our minds might turn a little bit more inward. We might become a little bit more reflective, you know, less sort of, less outspoken, perhaps, you know. It's sort of, you know, moving into the more psychic kinds of communication, tuning into, you know, how is the other person feeling, you know, and sensing how they're feeling, sensing the energy in their body, sensing their emotional state, and using all of your perceptions to increase your emotional awareness of other people, your loved ones, and yourself. So it's turning your perception into these sort of more fluid realms of perception, right? Very different from Mercury in Gemini. I'm natally a Mercury in Cancer, so for me, I always like when Mercury goes into Cancer, but it can be more difficult for some people, I guess, if you're a very practical thinker or if you have, you know, if you have Mercury in a very practical sign, you know, where you're trying to get things done and, you know, right, because it's just a little bit more sensitive. But Mercury doesn't have any kind of debility in Cancer or anything like that, so it's a fine, you know, it's a fine sign for Mercury to be in. So we're not looking at any kind of, you know, serious remediation work that would need to be done. And, you know, when I say that, I mean, you know, when Mercury is in some of the signs that it has a special place in, right? If it's in detriment or in fall, sometimes it's like we have to shift our awareness to really cope with the energy that brings, right? And there's always strength in every planetary placement. And some of the best writers in the world have Mercury in detriment or in fall. So there's no judgment really about what it's worth. But, you know, we've had Mercury in its domicile, which is just more of a, you know, I mean, I've been really sort of social and sort of with social media recently, and it's a really sort of classic Mercury and Gemini experience, right? But with Mercury moving into Cancer, yeah, it's just more sort of fluid and emotional communication. And so it's a good time to reflect, to sort of have intimate conversations, right? You know, you might sort of get pulled into your memories from time to time, and that's all good too. So we have another shift happening early in the week, you know, another little shift, inner planet moving, and that's Venus moving into Leo, looks like on Wednesday. So Venus has been in Cancer, right, which is, you know, it's a really nice sign for Venus to be in. It's very close and emotional. It's very, you know, it's been in this sort of like warm, this sort of cuddly sign, right? So with Venus moving into Leo, you know, it's still cuddly, right? Leo can still be that way. But it's more about emanating, right? Cancer really tends to want to pull in and pull those, you know, close to them in. And especially with Venus, you know, Venus is all about sensuality and nourishment and love and art and beauty, right? So with Venus moving into Leo, all of that energy kind of gets centered more in the heart and more sort of emanating from the heart. So it becomes more about, you know, showing the world who you are, sharing your love with other people, really emanating that. It's a great time to do like dramatic arts, performance art, you know, to sort of showcase your talent, right? You know, and we're looking at this, you know, Venus will be in Leo for about the next month, right? So, yeah, so Venus in Leo is, yeah, it's all about, yeah, it's all about sharing the sacred heart of who you are, right? And sharing that love that exists in your heart with other people, right? And, yeah, the emanation factor is really big, right? Like walking around, sharing your light, right? So not everyone has, you know, an easy experience with this, and we're all in a different, you know, place as we relate to Leo energy. So some people might have a hard time with Leo energy if it's, you know, if we have a hard time sharing with other people who we are, if we have a hard time feeling confident about what we have to offer, if we have a hard time being authentic. So it's a really good time to just move into that realm and open up, you know, open up those little cracks, right? To the heart, to the light that's emanating, right? And just sit in it, right? It's like, you know, we have to appreciate ourselves and our own strength of being, right? And our heart, as it is, you know, beating within us, it's, you know, a pure source of light. And we don't always recognize that. And it gets covered up with all kinds of things like resentment and greed and, you know, you name it. And it's just a matter of taking the layers off, you know, and easier said than done, right? But opening up to just being, you know. And Leo, you know, gets kind of a bad rap sometimes for being egotistical. And that's just another layer, right, that we have to strip off to get to, you know, our authentic core, right? And so as Venus moves into Leo on Wednesday, she immediately makes a square to Uranus. Well, not quite immediately. It happens, you know, maybe over the course of the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday. So this is a really cool aspect that we have going on this week, is this Venus square to Uranus. And this really is the cracking open, you know, of the heart. It's really, Uranus cracks things open, right? And it kind of destroys structure. It's sort of like, you know, the lightning bolt that comes down and cracks the tower open, right? It's, right, it can liberate us into ourselves, right? So into that Venus heart-centered mode of being. So it's a really good time to just sort of like let loose a bit, you know, and take some risks with sharing your love and sharing your art. And art also in the sense of artistic being, right? Like, you know, like we all have a creative way of being in the world, right? We all have a way that we express our love to other people and to community. So it's kind of like this cracking open. And so it's, how can you, you know, be honest in sharing that heart-centered place? Right, so it's a time to take risks in human interaction. And yeah, risk putting yourself out there, because it's like, you know, you kind of jump off that, you know, that place where you've been staying that keeps you safe, right? And you take a risk to put yourself out in the world and, you know, embody physically maybe more of your authentic center. So opening to that as a possibility. There is going to be a lot of important aspects with Venus coming in the next couple weeks. So, yeah, so Venus is really important right now. And, of course, she's very bright, and I can actually see her shining through this cedar tree outside. She's that bright. I can see her, like, in the branches. And so she's really bright. She's at her maximum elongation right now. And so after sunset in the west, just look up and you'll see Venus there. And don't confuse her with Jupiter. Jupiter will be in the east at sunset. Also very bright and very beautiful. And the two benefics, right, are gracing the evening sky right at sunset. So it's kind of a wonderful time in that way. And another really wonderful thing is on Friday night, we will have, the moon will be very close to Venus, you know, moving to conjoin Venus on Friday night, which is Venus's night, right? Friday is Venus's day. So on Friday, on Venus's day, We'll have the moon applying a conjoined Venus in the evening sky. So if you have clear skies, I really recommend just looking at sunset, and you'll see the crescent moon, you know, waxing crescent moon, just sort of, you know, next to Venus there. And so that's a really, that's a key thing that I'm definitely going to be looking for as well. There's maybe another thing I should point out before we jump into talking about the new moon and Neptune, which is jumping back a second to talk about Mercury again. So towards the end of the week, coming into Friday also, Mercury is going to be in an opposition with Saturn. And Mercury-Saturn contacts can be very mentally frustrating. A lot of times it can be sort of, we might experience sort of a challenge in our mental thinking, sort of a gateway, a gatekeeper, right? So Saturn, I always think of as the gatekeeper, and it's like sometimes the gatekeeper won't let you pass, right? And the question is always why. So if we're experiencing like a mental block, or we can't focus, or we can't get over this sort of hurdle in one of our mental projects, writing, in our commerce, in our trade, in our business, in our thought process, in our interpretation of symbols, whatever it is. If we're experiencing like a block this week, or it's sort of mentally frustrating, it might be a good time to rest. I always think Saturn, the other part of Saturn is rest. Saturn seems to rule over both rest and very hard work. So it's all about, you know, feeling into where you are. So you might not be in a position where you can rest if your work is really busy or something like that. And it also might just be about rising up to the task and pushing through and getting through whatever, you know, mental frustration you have, and persevering, you know, to the end. So it's always a question, right? Like, you know, what is Saturn trying to tell you? What is that gatekeeper trying to tell you? The gatekeeper could be trying to tell you something like, you're not ready yet to take on this project, potentially, or you need to rest your mind, right? You're taxing your mind too much. Or you need to think this through a little bit longer before it's ready for you to really work on this or put this out there or make this deal or whatever it is. And then the flip side of that might be just an increase of workload. And it might feel as though you don't have a choice. And that could also be the gatekeeper saying, all right, you asked for this. Now, you know, it's like the floodgates are open. Here's all of this work to be done. Here's all of this, right? And so it's a question of what we let into our lives too, right? You know, if we're taking this in sort of like an inner psychological realm, then it's a question of, you know, what are we open to, right? Because you know, and, you know, barring all other extreme factors, there is, you know, a level of our being, right, that where we, you know, consciously or not, make decisions on what to let into our lives. And this is really what Saturn is about, right? Boundaries and gatekeeping. So if the floodgates are open and it's, you know, these responsibilities are coming in and it's taxing and you're drained, yeah, I mean, there might be a message about that for you in some way, right? And that's for you to figure out, right? So whether it's, you know, a message of like, just get through this week, right? And then next week, it'll be easier. And, you know, maybe that's the message, just push through. And then you'll be in a good place, right? Or the message might be, you know, maybe your boundaries aren't shored up enough, right? And you're letting too much work in, too much responsibility in, or not enough, right? Conversely, if you don't have enough work, maybe you're not open enough to taking on the responsibility that you're really ready for, or maybe you're just incubating and resting before taking on more responsibility, right? And, you know, this is largely centering around Mercury topics, right? So all the things I already mentioned, writing, communication, trade, speech, commerce, symbol interpretation, mental clarity, these kinds of things. Okay, so let's talk about the new moon. And the new moon actually plays into this a little bit, this dynamic, this Mercury-Saturn dynamic. So the new moon is happening on Wednesday, and I just want to get a good time for you all. It looks like it's happening at about 12:42 p.m. Pacific time, so like 12:45 p.m.-ish. And it's a new moon in Gemini at 22 degrees Gemini. So new moon in Gemini, if you want to interpret this in your chart, it's always really helpful to look at, you know, where is Gemini in your chart? You know, what house is Gemini in your own chart? And that will give you a much better contextual information. But if we're talking generally, a new moon in Gemini is, it's really an exploration, right? It's like the beginning sort of an exploration. You know, Gemini, of course, is a sign that's all about knowledge and learning and verbally communicating knowledge. So Geminis frequently are, you know, they love to be students and to be teachers, writers, right? And it's directly connected to Mercury, right? It's Mercury's sign. So all that we kind of said about Mercury also applies to this new moon, right? So we're talking about, you know, a new exploration of ideas, a new sort of way of seeing the world, potentially, you know, a new kind of understanding potentially coming in. So with Mercury being in that opposition to Saturn, there is a lot of those themes about gatekeeper. What new information are you open to? Will you let into your life, right? And also, you know, there might be a piece about letting go of some connections, modes of study or ideas, right, about the world, about the way things work in the world, right? But there's another aspect to Mercury under this new moon, and that's Mercury makes a sextile to Uranus. So this happens, you know, this is happening right when Mercury moves into Cancer. And so the Mercury sextile Uranus is really exciting, actually. You know, Mercury-Uranus contacts are very much about new ideas and new insight coming in. It's a great time to be, you know, explorative and all of that. And it's also a time when we can get a little, you know, our minds can start going really fast. And so there's a bit of this interesting thing where, you know, Mercury is connected in with a very, you know, rebellious, kind of fast, sort of iconoclast energy, but it's also connected with this, you know, dour gatekeeper who's all about responsibility, right? So we're kind of being pulled between two different places, and it's, you know, it's always a question with Uranus Saturn of, you know, how we can create a channel, create a structure to, you know, actualize our creative impulses. So, you know, with Mercury Uranus, it's like all the ideas are there, you know, fresh insight, even almost like psychically just ideas coming in, you know, like very creative, like inventive kind of thoughts. It's a really good time to just like journal or just like think and just be excited about everything you can think about, right? But then it's always a question of, you know, how can this actually be worth something more than just an idea? You know, how can it be implemented into something valuable, something that I can take responsibility for, and something that I'm willing to do the work for, right? These are the kind of conversations. So it's really kind of a cool new moon in this way. I like, you know, that, you know, the way Mercury is tied in to Uranus and Saturn, it feels like, you know, there's a strong creative charge, and maybe you want to break away in some way, and do something new, start something new, especially with Uranus just fresh into Taurus. You know, we're all kind of thinking about what that next chapter is going to be for the next 7 years. And so this is a really interesting time to just brainstorm, you know, brainstorm about the next 7 years with Uranus and Taurus, get new ideas, and then just start thinking about how they can possibly be implemented, like, strategically, right? And in a way that's appropriate for you and who you are, realistically, of course. So, new moon in Gemini, it feels like there's a lot of possibilities, but we're also really faced with reality, and we're really faced with things like deadlines and responsibility. Yeah. So there's another facet of this new moon. So the new moon is sort of in a it's in a wide-ish, but still pretty decent square to Neptune. And Neptune is that energy that I was describing at the top of the show, where I was just talking about dream and using the dream world. And Neptune's all about, you know, visioning and literally your dreams at night, but also daydreams and fantasy, illusion, and trying to decipher what is real, but also entering into the greater mystery of life, where sometimes with Neptune we have to accept that we can't decipher things, and we have to open up to the mystery and kind of fall into our own illusions, right? I mean, there's been poets, right, who've said this before. I can't remember their names, but, you know, we have to deceive ourselves. We fall into our own deception, but it's necessary, right, for our soul and our soul growth. And, you know, and we've all done this, right? We've all tricked ourselves into thinking we're in a different situation than we were in, and then one day we kind of wake up and realize what's happened. But that there's something soulful in that experience, and of course we grow and we learn, obviously, from those experiences, but there's something soulful in the deception. There's something that we learn about ourselves and our own longing, our own longing for things. And in, you know, in general, I mean, I've sort of been reading some different mystical literature, and of course, what comes to mind is the book Reality by Peter Kingsley. And in the book, he's talking about a poem by Parmenides. And yeah, so he talks a lot about, about deception, the ultimate deception, how we can't know. You know, part of reality is the illusion that we all live in. The illusions are real, and we have to be able to creatively engage with them, right? And have part of us know, right? Part of us know that we're deceiving ourselves, but we do it anyway because we have to for our soul. We have to really be alive. You know, if we fall out of illusion entirely, in a way we're falling out of our soul, right? So, you know, but what is that also? What is falling out of illusion entirely? I mean, I guess you could also say that that's enlightenment. And to be in that state is to be with God, right? So you know, but we kind of can't stay in that state, or very few of us can. Very few of us can, and so we have to kind of come back into the illusion and engage with it, right? So those are some important thoughts about Neptune. And the big thing with Neptune is happening at the end of the week, and that's Neptune stationing retrograde on Sunday. So that to me makes, you know, this square from the new moon to Neptune sort of more important, because Neptune is, you know, it's stationing, right? And when a planet stations, it stops and it demands your attention, right? It sort of becomes this forceful presence in the heavens and in the sky. So we all have to look at our own illusions, right? And, you know, play with them in the most, you know, creative and cunning way that we can. Cunning, yeah, very important. So we've talked about a lot. So to sort of prioritize, I would say Neptune stationing retrograde might be the most important thing happening this week. You know, other than, you know, Mars is still on the south node, but I'm not going to talk about that. If you want to, you know, listen to that, you should listen to the show from last week where I talk all about that. But this week, you know, Neptune stationing retrograde on Sunday and Monday, Neptune will be really stationary. Yes, planets changing direction, so important, really important. So just feeling into all of that, especially, you know, with the new moon squaring Neptune, it's like, you know, we're engaging curiously, creatively with the world, right? We're doing our Gemini thing of sort of going out and collecting more information and being inquisitive and open, you know, we're open to the possibility of knowledge, right? We can't hold on to it, right? I mean, this is a Gemini thing, right? We can't hold on to knowledge. We have to be open to hearing it and sharing it. We have to let it flow. I mean, I think that's when Gemini can get stuck, when we're trying to, like, hold on and contain things, right? But paradoxically, maybe, Mercury's in Cancer. That's a sign that, you know, Mercury, the mind, tends to hold on to things for a little bit longer and gestate it and nurture it, right? That's why Cancer and Gemini are averse, right? That's why they have a kind of blindness to each other, right? Because Gemini needs to just flow with information, and Cancer needs to gestate it, right? Give it love, give it everything that it needs, and then in a big effort, birth it into the world. Okay, two very different ways of dealing with information. So, sun and moon coming together. Very simple. It's a new moon. It's spirit and body coming together. Under the new moon, right, the moon will be in the heart of the sun, right? The moon will be Kazimi, right, in the heart of the sun. And at this hour, with the moon in the heart of the sun, it's like, the physical qualities of the moon, which have to do with our body, right, and these kinds of things, sort of give way, and they're sort of less important, and it becomes more about the spiritual qualities of the moon, which, as we know, have to do with gestating and nurturing and all of that sort of Cancerian stuff, right? So we're opening to this greater connection of nurturance, right? So that's why it's like a seed time, because we're opening to, like, the fertility of this month, right? It's the beginning of the fertility of this month, right? And it's an inspiration, right? It's coming from spirit. We're getting nurtured by spirit. That's what, like, a new moon is. So it's a dark moon, right? There's no moon, like, in the sky, right, on Wednesday, 12:45 p.m. So we're opening up to those previously hidden channels, right? So we open up to that, And it's Gemini, right? And it's the spirit of Gemini coming down, right? Coming in. And so we're opening up to curiosity. We're opening up to adventure and possibility, right? And Gemini is all about how we sort of like process the adventure, right? It's you know, its opposite is Sagittarius, which is more about sort of the feeling and the faith and the exploration part. Gemini is like, it's more about like, oh, I'm talking to this person and what do they know? And they're sharing it with me and I'm listening. And then I'm telling their story back to my friend. And information gets shared in this way. And we're learning about new things, right? So then, you know, but the way that we're taking in the information is Cancerian, right? We're processing it deeply. We're pulling it into our being. And then we're gestating it. We're pushing it down into the deeper recesses of our body. And we're ruminating on it. You know, we're really ruminating on it and feeling it. But there's so much creative energy here, right? There's this big liberating force that we're trying to understand with these ideas. But we also have these very real obligations and dedications that we have to choose whether or not we'll take on. So it's a very, it's a cool time, right? And then there's the whole Neptunian piece, which just kind of throws it into like a really interesting place. Like, well, but who are we? What are we doing? You know, and what is, you know, deceiving ourselves, right, into false truths, into falsehoods, into false facts, deceiving ourselves, you know, into misinformation and wrong information because we need it. Partially our soul needs it. Or we're running away from our soul, right? And so it's, you know, you want to cut in through that. You know, Neptune is like, you know, it cutting through the deception, right? We're faced with our own ego, essentially, right? And we have to face that in some way. You know, and I suppose there are different ways of going about that, but you know, and I'm like, this Carl Jung quote is sort of dancing in my mind, but I can't remember it exactly. I wish I could remember the exact purpose of the quote, but he's kind of talking about the purpose of ego as it relates to the soul, and that there's some sort of important correlation here, right? Like, it's not just like our egos are terrible and like they're purely for survival and that's it, you know. There's obviously, you know, like a bigger purpose too, to them, where, yeah, I think he was talking about how the ego is influenced by the soul. I think he was talking about that. And it just relates to all this Peter Kingsley stuff too. And, how, you know, we have to fall back into the illusion. And if our ego is influenced by our soul, then even as we deceive ourselves, even as we make the choices to deceive ourselves and keep us in our ego framework, there's a little part of us that is tugging at the strings, right? Beneath it all. That's our soul. So, it's like, you know, how you can't just put Neptune in like a neat little package of words and send it off, right? You know, it's something to be explored, I suppose. Still, explore all of that. That was a lot. Mercury's still in Gemini, still talking really fast, I know. but yeah, so yeah, so I'm just feeling into this to see if there's anything else. I think there are some fixed stars actually involved with this new moon that are linked in with Orion. I think it might be Orion's left shoulder. Um, Yeah, I think it might be Orion's left shoulder that's linked in with this new moon. Yeah, so I just looked it up, and it is Bellatrix, the left shoulder of Orion. And yeah, so I looked at the star a bit before, and the way that Bernadette Brady talks about the star is, she says it's success through the shadow. So the stars in Orion are really bright, you know, it's like the big hunter constellation in the sky. And they're very beautiful. So the reason it's a shadow is because it's sort of the left side of the body, right, which is the more shadowy side. And the stars, there's, you know, the right shoulder and the left shoulder, and they're both really bright, right? These really bright stars, they're connected in with, like, the success of the hunter, right? And, you know, sort of, I think there's a regalness to the shoulders, too, right? It's kind of where we might have, you know, we carry our pride in our shoulders, you know, among other places. And so the fact that we have to sort of navigate the shadow self for the shadow side is really interesting. And, you know, Bernadette Brady talks about, she talks about how in order to have success in life, you know, so in this moon cycle, we may have to really navigate our shadow, really navigate our inner you know, face our sort of inner demons, or, you know, navigate these kind of deeper sides. So there's a part of this new moon that really is connected in with these sort of shadow navigation, or, you know, doing sort of shadow integration work, things like this. And so there's this other part of this new moon that's really connected in with this. And so I think it's really interesting. So take from that what you can, you know, and see if it works that way in your life. But it's a very powerful star. Bellatrix is a very, very powerful star. So it's like this moon cycle, we can have a lot of success, right? A lot of success in these kinds of pursuits that we've been talking about, especially these, maybe these like mercurial pursuits, right, of writing and communicating and trade. But probably in other areas as well, you know, especially if it's touching something in your natal chart, of course. So dealing with, you know, it's like as long as we face our inner demons, or like, you know, those sort of, it's occurring to me, some people might not know what I mean when I say like the shadow self. And what I mean is those kinds of hidden aggravations that sort of come up, right, when people kind of say triggered or something. But it's like a hidden aggravation that sort of emerges, and you know, it's like this frustration that we can't explain. And a lot of times there's a root to that that's in connected in with some deeper part of our psyche, or insecurity in some way, or anger or something like that, in connected in, you know, to like a root inside of our being. So it's sort of like, you know, tracing back to that root and then giving acknowledgement and love to whatever the root of that aggravation is. And when we open up to accept that root into ourselves, it naturally just sort of relaxes and opens, sort of like it's a pointed, acute kind of root. And then as we give it love and acknowledgement, it just kind of opens, and the energy sort of can dissipate. But, you know, it can keep, you know, it can clamp back up again too. So it's an ongoing journey. So if we find ourselves being sort of pulled into those aggravations or, you know, a lot of times, you know, they talk about projecting the shadow, right? You know, it's a really common conversation, right? So when we get really upset at someone and it's like, you know, the same type of person, you know, if there's like a pattern, right, in your life, then it's like, okay, well, maybe there's a root, right, that's pulling you to these people. And, you know, what is that root, right? Why are you subconsciously seeking this out? But it doesn't always have to play out with people, I suppose. It can also just be an internal kind of process, right? So feeling into those kind of aggravations. And this is another thing of Mars on the South Node too, like the shadowy aggravations and like shadowy anger, rage, and frustration. And so there's sort of maybe a double significator for that right now. So as these things come up, yeah, I mean, we work through them, right? I mean, instead of maybe pushing it down, right, try to see if there's a way you can, you know, have a different conversation with it and just, you know, open up those parts of the self. So, okay, so that was a lot. We talked about a lot of things on the show. A lot of mysterious things, the shadow, the great mystery, illusion, deception, right? But it's interesting because it's like, you know, Mercury, the ruler of the new moon, is applying the Saturn. So it's like, how can we make all of this tangible, right? But we have to face, there's a lot that we have to face. There's a lot of mystery and a lot of shadow kind of to be faced in order for us to sort of implement our next kind of steps, direct steps forward. And of course, you know, this is my kind of perspective, right? And other astrologers will have different perspectives, and every one of you have a different experience, and you all have different perspectives. So, yeah, so, you know, your experience won't fall neatly into anyone else's. So, okay, so let me just think if there's anything else that I want to say. Well, I want to say also, you know, even though we talked about the shadow and deception and mystery, it's also these things help us engage deeper with life, right? The fact that we know that we're tricking ourselves is actually a beautiful thing. Like, it doesn't mean that nothing is real, right? It means that we can really deeply, creatively engage with the world. And astrology shows us this too, right? The fact that astrology works is, you know, I mean, it opens us to mystery, right? It opens us back up to this. So as we're navigating through these things, shadow, deception, you know, ego loss, it's all, you know, the power of this Gemini new moon is like, it's like opening us up to really creatively move through the world with these really important tools, right? Like the tool of knowing about the shadow, it's an amazing tool, and it helps us live life deeper, you know, more fully invested, right? Because we've been to the other side of ourselves, right? And we're always working on it in subconscious. It's, you know, it's a continuous exchange of energy, you know, between us and our nether worlds internally, right? So none of this is saying like, oh, this is just a bunch of shadowy deception, you know. Of course, you all know that that's not what I'm saying, of course. So I think it's wonderful. So just, yeah. I think it's a great new moon, honestly. And again, like, Bellatrix is really powerful if we can just, you know, we just have to be aware of ourselves, right? And as long as we're aware of ourselves, you know, we've got the power of Orion on our side. We have, like, a powerful hunter with us, you know? We can really go after life, right? And open up to possibility as long as we listen to that deeper voice, right? And in a good way, you know, a deeper voice within us, right? So, wonderful. Okay, I think I'm going to leave the show right there. Maybe I'll just see if there's anything else sort of intuitively that's coming up. Yeah, so darkness, something about darkness, and, you know, Mercury in its phase right now, it's still combust, and by the end of the week, it'll be just starting to approach where it's going to come out of, come out from under the beams of the sun and be visible again. So there's an interesting piece there with just Mercury being dark, and then the moon being dark, and Bellatrix, so darkness, shadow. Yeah, I mean, that was more of a sensation than really a thought that I just got. But, yeah, I mean, maybe, I'm not sure if this is for you or for me, but I'm just hearing something about, yeah, like sitting with silence too. And there it is. Some silence for you there. All right. Okay. That's it for me. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. And my website is juneroseastrology.com. You can also listen to this show live on Hollow Earth Radio on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Just tune into KHUH 104.9 FM Seattle or visit hollowearthradio.org to listen. And yeah, that's great. Have a wonderful week and, you know, many blessings to you on this new moon. And yeah, take care. Bye.